What went you out into the desert to see? A reed shaken with the wind? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. After St. John the Baptist, who was, of course, not only the cousin of our Lord, but also the precursor of our Lord, and he who was to point out the Lamb of God to the Jewish people, after he had been imprisoned by Herod, some of St. John's disciples began to become quite jealous of our Lord himself, because they had seen the wonderful miracles and works that he had done, and that many were beginning to follow him. So when St. John the Baptist was in prison, he sent two of his disciples. These two disciples were, of course, Saints Peter and Andrew. He sent them to our Lord to ask them if he was indeed the Messiah. St. John the Baptist had no doubt, but he sent them to ask our Lord that question for their own sake, that they might see for themselves that he was, that our Lord was the true Messiah. And it was after this visit that our Lord praised St. John the Baptist. There is nothing else that we are looking for in this life but the praise of God, which St. John the Baptist received. What went you out into the desert to see? He said to the disciples of St. John and to those who were present. A reed shaken with the wind? What went you out into the desert to see? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, they who are clothed in soft garments are in the houses of kings. He praised on this occasion the courage and the fortitude of St. John. Now, since our Lord never does anything in vain, and since there is no useless word in sacred scripture, we should take that into account. And we should today then contemplate and imitate this virtue that our Lord praises, that of fortitude. For it was fortitude that gave to St. John the strength of character to rebuke publicly and openly the vices of the Pharisees in those days. It was fortitude that gave him the courage to correct King Herod for his incestuous marriage. It was fortitude that gave him strength to go out into the desert and to live as a hermit, to wear hair shirts, to live on honey and locusts. And it was fortitude that gave him the strength to endure his imprisonment and finally his own beheading. So if we ourselves today are going to progress in the spiritual life, in fact, let me be more direct. If we are going to save our souls, we must have fortitude. For the purpose of fortitude is this, to moderate, not to destroy, but to moderate our passions. The passions are not evil in themselves. The passion of anger can be used for good or for bad. Our Lord made himself angry once to drive out the money changers from the temple. You do not want to destroy anger, but to moderate it, to use it well. And so on with all of the other passions of the soul. So the purpose of fortitude is to moderate the passions and also to give us courage to either endure or to attack evil in the pursuit of good. In other words, fortitude prepares our soul to endure or to overcome evils rather than to turn away from the path of duty, whether it be duty to God or to man or to ourselves. Fortitude is either active or passive. We deal here with the theoretical part of fortitude. Active fortitude requires heroism in thought and action. Active fortitude restrains boldness. So there are some people in the world that, naturally speaking, are very brave, are very bold, in their dealings with others. These people need sometimes to restrain their boldness. Fortitude helps to rein them in. On the contrary, there is passive fortitude, which requires patience and constancy. This part of fortitude represses fear. So we think of the soldiers in battle. Active fortitude makes you go on the offensive to attack the enemy, whereas passive fortitude gives you the patience required. For example, think of the soldiers in World War II. I often use them. When they were in the trenches, stuck, the enemy was, there was heavy artillery fire. They couldn't get out of the trenches. They needed passive fortitude to endure patiently and await the end of the attack before they could make their move. And so in the spiritual life, the act of fortitude helps us to go on the offensive, to attack, for example, our sloth. We need the act of fortitude. But to endure a heavy cross requires passive, because it requires constancy and patience. Were any of us to write a speech about a soldier and to describe him, what he should be like to be a good soldier, we would use such adjectives as courageous, brave, loyal, strong, and enduring. These are essential qualities of a soldier. Now, question. Are we not soldiers of our Lord Jesus Christ? And is not this world called by sacred scripture a warfare, a battleground, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and dominations? We're soldiers fighting a battle, and we will not survive without fortitude. We will not save our soul without this virtue. For without fortitude, think of it, mortification is impossible. I'm not here speaking about the mortifications of giving up candy for Advent and Lent, though that requires fortitude as well. I mean the necessary penances, restraining, bringing in your predominant fault, overcoming that. The fault that rules the way you think and judge and speak. In the Holy Scriptures it says, "He that ruleth his own spirit is more valiant than he who taketh cities." The man who has possession of his soul can overcome his passions is much more mighty than a Hitler or a Stalin, or any of those men who were great generals, whether for good or for bad, but could fight a good war. We are more mighty than they. Without fortitude, we will not be able to endure difficulties for the sake of others. This is important. Think of it. If St. Paul would have lacked fortitude, what would have become the first missions of the church? We read in sometime in Lent or Septuagesimatide, one or the other, that litany of all the sufferings he had to endure to spread the faith. 3 times he was shipwrecked. He was bitten by a serpent. He was scourged. He was imprisoned. All of this for the sake of others. Without fortitude, he could not have done a single thing. And what would become, we spoke of St. Paul and a mighty man and a public figure. But now let's turn to something not so public, not so mighty and unrecognized. What would happen to our families, to our children, if a mother lacked the fortitude required for her state in life? To stay up, to forget herself, her own needs, to take care of her children, to stay up a whole night with a sick child, to get up early and prepare breakfast for the kids, getting ready for school, to homeschool day in and day out to get the children to come together at night for their night prayers and all the other 1,001 duties of a mother that go so unnoticed. What would become of a family with a mother who lacked fortitude? Without fortitude, we could not endure the trials that come to us in daily life that are unforeseen. The loss of relatives, sickness, bad weather, the weather that makes us gloomy and all of the rest. And without fortitude, there would not be a single martyr to venerate on our Catholic calendar. Now, true solid piety or virtue is always the perfect mean between two extremes. Have you ever thought of that? Meekness is not weakness. It does not mean allowing yourself to be walked upon day in and day out. No, sometimes meekness means to stand up for yourself, to defend your rights, and all of that. Meekness is the golden mean between weakness and boldness, or anger, excessive anger. And so fortitude is the golden mean between boldness and cowardice. Thus far, we have been discussing the theory of fortitude. But now for the practical part. How are we to practice this virtue? How are we to attain this virtue in our life? Shortly, quickly, they are these five. Firstly, we attain it by a fervent love of God. St. Paul says nothing could separate him from the love of Christ. Nothing. Because love makes us strong and love makes everything light. Think of a mother who is able to endure great suffering for the sake of her children. Think of the mother who is in danger in childbirth. She wants to see her child live, and she would give up her life, perhaps. Love makes all things light. Secondly, we attain fortitude by foresight of potential evils, because if we foresee, there's a saying, forewarned is forearmed. And so in the spiritual life, 5 minutes of meditation in the morning, calling to mind not what might happen to you during the day, but what will probably happen to you in the day. All of those temptations cause you such headache. All of those trials that really get on your nerves. Foresee them. Think, what will I do when those situations occur to overcome this temptation or whatever? Forewarned is forearmed. Thirdly, by meditating on the eternal rewards that are given for enduring passing trials. St. Paul says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come." Fourthly, by recalling the examples of fortitude in the lives of the saints. Spiritual reading, especially in Advent, is a good thing. And fifthly, we attain great fortitude by being strong in small matters. Instead of hitting the snooze button in the morning, get up right away. You become stronger by each of those tiny acts. You become stronger in soul. Instead of waiting and putting your rosary off till night, how about saying it earlier in the day? That requires fortitude and all of the rest. To conclude, it is simply this, a lack of fortitude, that keeps us from performing our duties in this spiritual life. It is a lack of fortitude that makes so many of us just skip Mass. It is a lack of fortitude that keeps us back from confession. We don't want to be humiliated to admit our faults. It is lack of fortitude that keeps us from saying our daily prayers. It's just too hard today. I'm too tired, especially when it comes to the rosary. It is many times a lack of fortitude, even in the bravest of men, who refuse to accept the faith once it's been sufficiently explained. It's a lack of fortitude. They don't have the strength to change their life. And also, it is lack of fortitude that causes us not to profess our faith. So let us today then contemplate this virtue of fortitude and do an examination of conscience and see if you have the true virtue of supernatural fortitude. And let us to recall to mind the example of Christ and all the servants of God in the early church who struggled to keep their faith and yet in the end would die for on behalf of their holy faith. May the Holy Ghost descend into our souls too to give us both the virtue and the gift of fortitude that is needed to live our faith daily. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.